is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The White House Budget Office saying in a court filing it would be firing over 4,000 U.S. government employees during the government shutdown.
The major federal workers union is calling it disgraceful, accusing the administration of using the shutdown as a way to cut costs, as they have said that they plan to do before.
ABC's Christian Cordero. The stock market plunging as President Trump reignites his trade war with China. The president threatening a new 100% tariff on Chinese imports and tech export limits. The Dow losing 878 points on the news, the Nasdaq down 820. The president suggesting he was blindsided by China's announcement they'd impose large-scale export controls on a wide range of products. With the ceasefire agreement in effect in Gaza, tens of thousands of Palestinians displaced by the war have started moving north toward their homes, or what remains of them. In Tennessee, the number of missing workers at the scene of a deadly explosion at a manufacturing plant now 19. This is ABC News. Moving on, but never forgetting, Uvalde, Texas opened the doors of its new elementary school today.
Inside the front doors to Legacy Elementary School in Uvalde stands a sculpture of an oak tree with two large branches representing the two teachers killed and 19 smaller ones, one for each child who died in the massacre at nearby Robb Elementary on May 24th, 2022.
The names of all the victims will be inscribed on top of the limbs of the tree, so it'll be there forever.
Tim Miller led the effort to raise $60 million for the new school that 800 Uvalde children will soon attend. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The NFL is reviewing how its concussion protocol was followed for the New York Giants quarterback Jackson Dart in the second half of Thursday's game against Philadelphia. Cameras caught coach Brian Daboll poking his head into the blue injury tent on the sideline when Dart was being checked for a concussion. Britain's antitrust watchdog labeling Google a strategic player in the online search advertising market. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the last time the Brewers faced Cubs pitcher Matthew Boyd, they knocked in three runs in the first inning. Last night, Boyd pitched into the fifth as the Cubs shut out the crew 6-0. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, he was great. Boyd was fantastic. He made pitches. How much money did they give him? $39 million. He earned it tonight. He was great.
So Game 5 is tomorrow night at 7:08 at American Family Field to decide who will advance to face the Dodgers for the National League pennant. NBA, the Bucks beat the Pistons 117-111 last night in preseason basketball in Milwaukee. NFL, the Packers face the Bengals Sunday afternoon, but kicker Brandon McManus injured his kicking leg at Wednesday's practice, a quad injury. Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, that's a major concern right now. So we'll see how he's doing today and tomorrow. And, you know, we'll have a plan ready to go.
Now, McManus says he thinks he'll be okay. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Candy's family still has trouble watching one of his biggest hits. Candy was self-conscious about his weight throughout his career and did not like the mud wrestling scene in Stripes. Candy passed away in 1994. He insisted on wearing a shirt throughout the entire scene due to his modesty, despite being encouraged to take it off by other filmmakers and cast. You can learn more about what made one of the most beloved Hollywood icons tick in the documentary John Candy, I Like Me, which dropped Friday, October 10th on Prime. When the live-action version of Snow White failed at the box office, Disney got cold feet and halted production on the live version of Tangled. Now it appears the production is back on and has its sights set on Scarlett Johansson for the role of Mother Gothel. There is no word yet on who will play Rapunzel or Flynn Rider or any other cast for that matter. Michael Gracie, who directed The Greatest Showman, will head up the project. You had me at Scarlett Johansson. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 40s. Sunshine and beautiful for your Saturday, highs in the upper 60s. Clouds move in Sunday, chance of showers and the wind picks up. Warmer highs in the low 70s. Currently 57 degrees.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, what is the view from across the pond for Democrats who live overseas? We're going to hear from George King IV from Democrats Abroad. Join us.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
This is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, hit me, cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. This episode is by Minneapolis Air, American Indian Relations on Native Roots Radio, and it's supported by the City of Minneapolis. Minneapolis is the home of one of the largest urban Native populations in the country. We're thankful to have these updates from Minneapolis American Indian Community Specialists. Here's our guest host, Christine McDonald. Welcome to Native Roots Radio. Take it away.
Thank you, Robert. Buju, Ogadaki, Gabawik, Nindijnikas, Ajijak, Nindundem. I am Christine McDonald. I am the American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis. And tonight we have the Minneapolis Elections Department. This is an election year for the City of Minneapolis. And joining us to talk about that is Zach Becca from Minneapolis Elections and Voter Services. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you for having me. I'm very, very honored and thankful to be here for the opportunity to speak with everybody today.
Thank you. Can you tell our audience a little bit about yourself and then what you do at the Election and Voter Services Department?
Sure. Yeah. So me and my role here at the City of Minneapolis, I am election judge coordinator. So essentially what that means is I'm in charge of staffing the polling places on election day. All of the staff are assigned from members of my team and myself. We staff, you know, the team judges. So from everybody from handing out the ballots, checking you in, greeting you at the door, the head and assistant judges, people in charge of the poll book and registration specialists as well. We handle all of those day-to-day assignments and like building up that until election day. A little bit about myself. I've been working with the city since 2020 seasonally as an election specialist. And Christine asked me to talk about why I'm passionate about this work. And I'm passionate about my election work truly just because I have a love for democracy. That started off as a very young kind of love for me and an interest for me and in our future, our history, things like that. I get a great sense of happiness from giving service to the community that has meant a lot to me and helped influence me in the way that I am today. So it gives makes me feel good to give back to my community. And yeah, it just makes me overall happy. So that's just a little bit about what I do here. As far as the election judge program, one thing that I wanted to touch on that I didn't touch on, I apologize for, is we also employ student election judges as well. So anybody between the age of 16 to 18 can be a student election judge. They get the same responsibilities as a regular election judge. You get paid for the training, you get paid for election day. So I wanted to advertise that. It's, you know, you still might not be able to vote until you get to be 18, but you get to interact with the voting system and get to see how it works at an earlier opportunity than they normally would. So I think that is interesting, and I just wanted to point that out as well.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You still get to be a part of the process and witness it firsthand.
Exactly.
So can you tell us about what is on the ballot this year?
Surely. So this is going to be a municipal election year. So that means it's just city offices on the ballot. And depending on where you live in the city will impact the different, the seat or the ward or the position that you can vote for. So let's break it down. So everybody will have the mayor. Everybody knows about that. Everybody will have a city council member that they can choose for. And again, that depends on where you live. Board of Estimate and Taxation, they have two at-large seats. Parks and Recreation Commissioner, so there's there's six districts, so you'll get to vote for one of those, depending on where you live. And then there's three at-large seats. And then all of the races are in ranked choice voting, which is unique. I shouldn't say unique to Minneapolis, but it is not what we're normally used to and when we vote in a federal or state election. So it will be a little bit different, which we'll touch on.
Thank you. Election day is still a while away. Well, it's not that far away. Is there anything Minneapolis voters should be doing right now?
Yeah, I would say always have a plan. Always have a voting plan is always the best way to have the best experience. Figure out how do I want or how would I like to cast my ballot. We have a couple different options. It's if you want to vote early, we can have you vote by mail. You can vote in person at the early voting center here at 980 East Hennepin Avenue. And we also are going to have additional pop-up sites located around the city. We had that during the 2024 general election, and we are returning to some of the sites, and we're having a new site in there as well. Let me just touch on that real quick. I have that. So we'll be at the Weissman on the October 21st. And that's from 10 to 5 p.m. We'll be at the Minneapolis Public Service Building on October 22nd, 11 to 6. Urban League Twin Cities on Thursday, October 23rd, 11 to 6. Friday, October 24th, Midtown Global Market. So returning there, 11 to 6. And then Weber Community Center on Monday, October 27th. And then it will be 11 to 6 as well.
So at these pop-up centers, do you have to live in that district to vote at those pop-up centers?
That is a good question. So you do not have to live in those areas to vote at those centers. Our pop-up sites are equipped with equipment that is able to print ballots depending on where you live in the city. Mm-hmm. So we're able to bring the ballots directly to people.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So state laws around elections have changed in our recent years. Can you tell us what's new with those state laws?
Yeah. So this year we want to highlight that there's a change in the ballot drop off time. So if you're dropping off your ballot on election day, you would need to drop it off in our offices by 5 p.m. We're not accepting ballots at polling places on election day. It needs to be dropped off at our offices. We had a couple instances in 2024 where they were brought to polling places. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that is only being brought to our offices here. We also have in 2023, the state legislature passed a law restoring voting rights for felons. As long as they are not incarcerated, they are able to vote. So this restored the voting rights of, I believe it was in the, I don't want to be quoted on it, but I believe it was in the 50,000s. It restored a lot of voting rights to previously people who had felons on their record. We also have had a change that introduced a permanent absentee list. So let me give a little further context on this. So in 2023, we had a state change as well that when you go to register to vote, you can elect or request to be added to a permanent absentee list. So if any election is available in your area or your where you reside, you will automatically receive a ballot in the mail for that election. You don't have to go request it. You don't have to do anything additional. It's just if you are eligible to vote in an election, you will receive a ballot.
Okay. Can I just follow up on the felon part?
Yeah.
So just to clarify, I know back when I was really assisting doing elections, we would have to be specified that they had to be off paper. So you're saying that they no longer have to be off paper to vote?
Yeah. So this includes non-incarcerated felons who are on probation, as well as those part of the work release programs or that are on paper. So yeah, it's truly if they are not incarcerated, you are able to vote.
There's nothing stopping you from voting.
Nope. Nope.
That's great.
Hey, we'll be right back. You're listening to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio. Stay with us.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
On view at Minneapolis Institute of Art, artist Mary Sully was a visionary ahead of her time. Born on Standing Rock Reservation, she worked in near obscurity between the 1920s and 1940s, creating intricate, vividly colored drawings that blend Dakota heritage with modern life. Now on display at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, experience the first solo exhibition featuring Mary Sully's work only at MIA until September 21st and always free to visit. Learn more at artsmia.org.
Have you read or listened to any good mysteries lately? Would you like to know more about the people who write them? Listen to Masters of Mystery on KM 950 Saturday, September 13th at 9 p.m. as host Rob Young converses with John Gaspard, writer of magic-filled mysteries, and professional actor-turned-audiobook narrator Jim Cunningham, as they discuss Gaspard's novels and their journey from written word to audiobook.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, we are grateful for this partnership to keep up to date on topics that can better support our largest urban Indian population in the country. I'll pass things over to our great guest host, Christine McDonald.
Thank you. Welcome back, everybody. Christine McDonald, the American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis. And joining us tonight for our conversation is Zach Becca, who is with the Minneapolis Elections and Voter Services Department. So, Zach, I remember before we had ranked choice voting. It's fairly new, and so Minneapolis uses ranked choice voting in their municipal elections. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so it is a voting method where you vote for candidates in order of your preference. So it allows you to rank them or choose them. You get to choose up to three, and you don't even have to choose more or more than one if you do not like or don't want to. So you can choose, you know, your top three and then go from there.
So how do voters make their choices using ranked choice voting?
Yeah, so we will have sample ballots available on the Secretary of State website by the time early voting starts. They're not available right now. I just went to check it. You can see the candidates and they're listed, but you're not actually able to view it as if you were there on election day. But I want to mention that it will be there on by the time early voting starts.
And again, that's next week?
Yes, so the early voting starts on the next Friday, 19th.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can vote as early as then in person here at 980 East Hennepin. Going back to what we were talking about, there's columns that will separate which choice you are making for which race. So let's say, for example, if I want this particular candidate, let's say Bobby Joe. Bobby Joe is my top choice, so there will be for mayor. There will be a column that says, you know, top choice or first choice, and then you will fill in that bubble, and then there'll be another column that will say second choice for mayor, and then you can fill that in there, and then that goes that way. So that's how we can fill out the ballot.
Cool. And they don't have to use ranked choice voting. They can make one choice. Does it make any sense for somebody to put like the same candidate 1, 2, and 3?
No, it does not make any sense. Your vote would not go past that first round. And once your candidate is eliminated, then your vote would go to your second choice or your third choice if they're still available.
Okay, thank you. If I need to register to vote, what are my options? How do I do that?
Yeah, so registering is is actually fairly simple in Minnesota, in my opinion. If you're registering on election day at the early voting center or at a pop-up, so if you're registering in person, you just need to present proof of residence. So that could be Minnesota State ID, up to date with your address, current address, it's not expired. Let me see here if I have the list. I'm blanking right now.
It's okay.
But yeah, we have, there is a total list of everything that you can use on the Secretary of State website. Also, another great web resource for us or for voters looking to get information would be mnvotes.gov. That will take you directly to the Secretary of State, as well as vote.minneapolismn.gov. On there has all the resources that they would need to find what they need to register to vote. It is a little specific in the sense that what the language is on there is what we're looking for. There's not a whole lot of gaps that we can fill in. It has to be one of those specific things.
Right. Okay. What if I miss the deadline?
If you miss the deadline to pre-register, that's okay. We have same day registration in Minnesota. You can do that at election day. We can do that at early voting or at a pop-up.
Great. Thank you. So what do I need to do if I do want to vote by mail?
Sure. Yeah. So if you're applying to by mail, and you're not yet registered, you will receive a voter registration application in your package that you'll get from our office. So you would just fill that out and send that back in.
And what's the difference when I vote by mail or if I go in person?
That's a good question. So before we start tabulation or early, when we're in a true early voting period, you're doing the vote by mail system in person. Mm-hmm. You'll put it in an envelope that goes in another envelope. You need a witness. It doesn't go directly in the tabulator. So that does not happen right away. The last 2 weeks before the election, that's when we can start direct balloting. So that's when there is a major shift between voting in person as opposed to voting by mail. Also, additionally, you have the satisfaction of handing your ballot in and knowing that it's everything is taken care of ahead of time, and just right. having that peace of mind, that knowing that on come election day, I'm good to go.
Yeah. So what is this witness section? I didn't know about that part. What do you have to do to be a witness to a mail-in?
There is on the actual form there, or excuse me, on the envelope, there are specific kind of eligibility requirements. Mm-hmm. I don't know offhand. I can't speak to that offhand. Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't even want to test it.
Okay, I didn't know about that part. So that's a good thing to look into. And who can be a witness for you?
Yeah, I would say just in general, if there are any other further questions that either I can't answer on this forum, on this radio, if there's anybody listening, you know, they can call 311. We'll be happy to help you out that way.
Mm-hmm. Great. If I apply to vote by mail, or I still have my mail-in ballot with me at home, can I change my mind and just vote in person instead, or do I have to follow through and sending it in?
Yeah, so we are recommending that you leave your ballot at home. If you receive your ballot in the mail, leave it at home. If you're choosing to vote in person or even on election day, just don't fill it out, don't send it back, don't do anything. Just go vote in person, and to handle that business. When the election worker will see that we've sent you a ballot, we'll talk you through it.
Oh, okay.
Yep, we have records of that. We'll be able to cancel that ballot, so that way when you go home, our instructions are just to shred it, rip it up, mm-hmm. make sure that it's just trash at that point.
Mm-hmm. So that's one way to make sure that there's no double voting happening.
Exactly.
That's yep. good.
One vote per person.
Mm-hmm. And so if I am all of a sudden I find myself I got to be out of town on election day, how do I vote early in person?
Yeah, so we have on our website, Minneapolis or vote.minneapolismn.gov has all of our early voting schedule. It is a little funky. There are a couple of days that we have, like we have the 13th off for Indigenous Peoples Day. We have a different schedule for the last 2 weeks. So from like October 27th through the 31st, we're from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. The day before the election, we're open till 5 p.m. So I would just recommend if there's anybody looking to find the schedule for what our hours are for voting in person at 980 East Hennepin, just to go to our website and then consult it there. Or, yep, call 311 and we'd be able to happy to help you that way.
And what's that website?
vote.minneapolismn.gov.
And that will also have information for the pop-up centers, right?
Yes. So it's a little tricky to navigate, but if you're on the homepage of vote.minneapolismn.gov, on the voters tab, there is a vote early in person tab. Inside of that has the schedule for when we will have our early voting hours for our center. Okay. And on that website as well, on that same page, is the pop-up schedule, locations, address, the hours. It has a lot of information available there.
Okay. Can you say again more about the voting pop-up option?
Yeah. So it's got all the same safeguards in place that we would normally have at a regular polling place. So we are able to service any of the Minneapolis residents at any of these pop-up sites. Like I said, we have the equipment that we are able to bring your ballot to you, even though you might not even be in your neighborhood. So it's just one day only that we will have these pop-ups at these sites. So if you're looking to... if you're in that area or transportation is an issue to 980 East Hennepin, but you're wanting to vote early, look into that website and check into seeing if there are any locations that might work for you that you can make.
One quick question, I hope, in before we have to end. When can we expect to know the results of the election?
Yeah, so voters should visit vote.minneapolismn.gov.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The White House Budget Office saying in a court filing it would be firing over 4,000 U.S. government employees during the government shutdown.
The major federal workers union is calling it disgraceful, accusing the administration of using the shutdown as a way to cut costs, as they have said that they plan to do before.
ABC's Christian Cordero. The stock market plunging as President Trump reignites his trade war with China. The president threatening a new 100% tariff on Chinese imports and tech export limits. The Dow losing 878 points on the news, the Nasdaq down 820. The president suggesting he was blindsided by China's announcement they'd impose large-scale export controls on a wide range of products. With the ceasefire agreement in effect in Gaza, tens of thousands of Palestinians displaced by the war have started moving north toward their homes, or what remains of them. In Tennessee, the number of missing workers at the scene of a deadly explosion at a manufacturing plant now 19. This is ABC News.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse and home for the Todd Hallball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Game 5 tomorrow night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. Baseball, the last time the Brewers faced Cubs pitcher Matthew Boyd, they knocked in 3 runs in the first inning. Last night, Boyd pitched into the fifth as the Cubs shut out the crew 6-0. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, he was great. Boyd was fantastic. He made pitches. How much money did they give him? $39 million. He earned it tonight. He was great.
So Game 5 is tomorrow night at 7:08 at American Family Field to decide who will advance to face the Dodgers for the National League pennant. NBA, the Bucks beat the Pistons 117-111 last night in preseason basketball in Milwaukee. NFL, the Packers face the Bengals Sunday afternoon, but kicker Brandon McManus injured his kicking leg at Wednesday's practice, a quad injury. Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, that's a major concern right now. So we'll see how he's doing today and tomorrow. And, you know, we'll have a plan ready to go.
Now, McManus says he thinks he'll be okay. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Normally, I prefer to see movies in the theater, but we'll have to rethink that when Minecraft 2 comes out. Variety reports a Minecraft sequel is in the works after the first flick made almost $1 billion worldwide. Not sure if you remember or heard this, but there is a zombie chicken baby scene that made teenage boys do very gross things in the movie theater. You might want to sit that one out and wait for it to stream. Minecraft 2 is scheduled to hit theaters July 23rd of 2027. Variety is also reporting that Bradley Cooper is in talks to star in the prequel of the Ocean's 11 franchise. The film will be set before the first Steven Soderbergh version of Ocean's 11 in 2001. This franchise is a remake of the original Ocean's 11 from 1960 that starred Frank Sinatra and some of his Rat Pack pals. The new film is rumored to be set in 1960s Europe. Margot Robbie is already on board to play the female lead. They are really milking this ocean thing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 40s. Sunshine and beautiful for your Saturday, highs in the upper 60s. Clouds move in Sunday, chance of showers and the wind picks up. Warmer highs in the low 70s. It's 55 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We could do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I like these organized mazes much, much better. On our street, there were these triplets, and the triplets were like 3 or 4 years old. We were just talking with the neighbors, and next thing we know, the triplets are gone. They thought we were playing hide and seek, so even though we're calling for them in the cornfield, they're not calling back. And that was a crazy 20 minutes, a fearful 20 minutes with the sun going down till we found them.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight from HBO's Task, I welcome Jamie McShane and comedian and host of the WGN Morning Show, Mike Toomey. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Oh, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this episode is supported by the City of Minneapolis with Minneapolis Air, American Indian Relations. And here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Welcome back. I am Christine McDonald, American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis. And joining us now is Jolene Jones, representing Make Voting a Tradition, a culturally specific, year-round, multi-generational approach to increase voter turnout and civic engagement in the Native American communities in Minnesota. Welcome, Jolene.
Thank you for having me, Christine. I appreciate the invite.
I'm so excited to have you on. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe what drives you to do this work?
So, Buju Mishko Banishi Indishni Kuzmung Dudame. My English name is Jolene Jones. I always try to introduce myself in our cultural name because that's our true name. The reason why I think I got started in voting was my mother, when we would turn 18, would take us to vote that year, if it was a voting year. And I was very excited about going. And it was like a tradition with her. My older siblings did it, and then I've done it with my son, I've done it with my grandchildren. So that's why voting became so important to me, because it was something that my mother considered was our duty, and we needed to do it for our people. I think for me it became more important as I seen our community didn't want to vote due to our history and traumas with government. Mm-hmm. And not feeling like their voices are heard. And this is a way for their voices to be heard. And I want them to know that. So we do a lot of one-to-one work, Make Voting a Tradition does, to get our people out to vote. We do candidate forms. We just did a mayor's candidate mm-hmm. form. It was the first all-Indigenous one, where it was the programs that sponsored it was Make Voting a Tradition, American Indian OIC, NACDI, the Native American Community Development, who actually created MVAT, and also Indian Health Board? I don't know if I did, but Indian Health Board was a part of that also. One of the main questions that I really enjoy, Christine, one of the questions that was asked of all mayoral candidates was, do you believe in land back? And they all said yes, and we have that recorded. Mm-hmm. So we have that on file. You know, we do surveys of our community to ask what we're missing. In 2015, after elections, we did a survey of our community. And one of the things that came up was that if voting is so important, why aren't you guys here year round? Why do you only come for voting? Why don't you educate us throughout the year, get our 18-year-olds when they're turning 18, all of that. That was before 16 and 17-year-olds can register. They can mm-hmm. register now. So NACDI took that to heart. It was a community voice that was heard, and NACDI made Make Voting a Tradition a year-round program. Mm-hmm. So that was very awesome. You know, we provide voter education, resources. We answer the hard questions. Right now, like you talked about earlier, with Zach, we're in ranked choice voting this year. So mm-hmm. we have fun with ranked choice voting because we're Make Voting a Tradition. So we do like Big Bird, Elmo, our kids get to vote. Our adults vote for other things. They get to practice voting. So when they walk in, they ain't shocked by what they're voting for. And they get to say, why is it like this? So, you know, we try to get a little bit ahead of the game for our community. Mm-hmm.
I know you guys have done some excellent work in the community, and I heard you guys are an award-winning program. Can you tell us what that award was and who presented it, how you got it?
We got awarded the Secretary of State's award for Make Voting a Tradition, and this is really a big award because it's just not our secretary, Secretary Simon. It's just not him. It was all the secretaries of state, and they all nominate a program, and then they select. And
it was a national award.
Voting the Tradition won a national award, and it was pretty awesome, you guys. We got it last year when we were doing Indigenous mm-hmm. Peoples Day in November. We got it, or October, mm-hmm. I mean.
Yeah, that was presented by Secretary of the state, yep. Right?
Secretary of the state. I call him. His name's Simon.
Simon. Yeah. I just know that guy.
Yeah. He's a pretty cool guy.
So can you tell us more about who is MVAT and how you all are involved with voter engagement and education for Natives, for our community?
So make voting a tradition is we tend to use community with community. So instead of just having random people, a lot of our people are from our community. They live in our community. They know the obstacles that our community faces to vote. Like I heard you earlier say, what if I got to go out of town for something? How do I vote early? That happens to our people a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, for our elders, we always worry about snowstorms. Mm-hmm. So we have them fill out early voting. And as we get closer, if they don't want to do it, they don't have to. But if it's going to be a snowstorm, they actually get to vote that way. Otherwise, we walk them over and assist them in walking if it's snowy out. So a lot of our canvassers, fellows, when I say canvassers, fellows, I mean our people who get out there and register people at events and that live in our community. A lot of them live in Little Earth. Mm-hmm. We also have young ones who help us. They love doing it. They can't wait to vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have our new Instagram up, so you can go there. We're brand new, you guys. If you go to Instagram, it's Make Voting a Tradition. Please go like us. We're brand new on Instagram. We're moving up in the world here. But we do have a Facebook, and it's Make Voting a Tradition. Or you can also go to Native American Community Development and Make Voting a Tradition. It's on there also. Mm-hmm. And we have like how you vote, where we're going to be tabling at that week, because in the Native community, we have events that we go to reach out to our community so we can register our voters, our people who moved. We can engage our youth, our 16 and 17-year-olds. We can recruit people to become canvassers and fellows. We provide education like the 16 and 17-year-olds. A lot of them didn't know that they could register to vote. Even though there are school things going on, our Native ones still did not know. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of registration with them. We also do a lot of registration with our felons right now because they can legally vote as long as they're not sitting in prison, and unless the judge has told them they cannot vote. So we've done a lot with that. We do a lot of artwork. We engage artists in our community because what we have found, like I talked about surveys earlier, what we have found in our most recent survey we did is that our artwork speaks to our community.
Yes.
The artwork. So we have a lot of posters, a lot of stickers. So when people come to our table, they can take them. Everything's free. We give them away so that, you know, anybody can have them. They don't even have to be old enough to vote or anything. Anybody can have them. We really got some awesome stickers. We got pet scarves because we know that your pets are part of your family, too. And you know what? Your vote matters to them, too. Mm-hmm. Everything we do is for our community, not to just vote, but for their voices to be heard in the areas they're concerned with. You know, our MMIW policies matter. So your vote matters for policies.
It really does. I think one of the things that has made this program so successful is the work that you've done to recruit community members. I remember different conversations that we'd been in, and we talked about how important it was for our community members to learn about voting from people from our community, people that look like us, talk like us, have the same experience as us.
Yes. That deeply matters. When we had 4 years ago, we had, you know, we got some of our elders who've never voted. Mm-hmm. I had an elder who was 87 years old and he had never voted. And you know, we all tried to talk to him and he was like, yeah, I don't think I want to vote, you know, and sometimes it takes more than one talking. We got talked 5-6 times. And finally, one of my canvassers was like, you know, you ain't never voted. You're 82. You should do it, just because at the time he was born, our people couldn't vote. We were not allowed to vote. And he thought about it and he told her, you know what, if you walk me over there, I will vote. And we took his picture and he voted.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That was beautiful.
That
because
is
when he was born, our people weren't allowed to vote. And, you know, mm-hmm. we stress that too, you know, voting matters. And some of our elders, because also, you know, when MBAC first started, we were just in the urban area because a lot of our people mm-hmm. live in the urban area now due to the relocation act and all the false promises. So right. we live in the urban area and our voting is really off. We're like, what do you mean we vote here or do we vote up by the res? Because, you know, to us, that's our home, is our reservation. And mm-hmm. it's like, no, we're going to vote right here where you live right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're a very mobile people also, Christine. That's why it's mm-hmm. so important to keep registering our native voters because we are a very mobile people and we've always been mobile. So mm-hmm. one day they'll be living in Minneapolis. The following year they're living in St. Paul. Next they're living in Leech Lake. You know, we're a very mobile people.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that you mentioned were some of the different like swag that you've had. And you use artwork and you collaborate with different organizations, but it would be really cool if one year, like you could fill up all my relations gallery with all the different pieces of swag, the different posters that you've created. The fact that you've partnered with different community artists to create voting posters, those are so cool.
So our this year's voting posters, we have Frank Buffalo Hyde, we have Afton Delgado, Bree Green, Jonathan Thunder. We've had Steve Primo in the past. We've mm-hmm. had all kinds. And our posters are beautiful. We really should, Christine, at mm-hmm. one point put all of our voting posters in the gallery. That would be beautiful.
And all the Make Voting a Tradition shirts.
Oh, yeah. We got different kinds of shirts. Yeah. We did our logo a couple years ago. Our logo is the bomb. We really have a beautiful.
Who's the current logo. Artist that designed? Who's the artist that designed the current logo?
His name is Frank.
The current logo?
Oh, our current logo? I'm not 100% sure.
It was Bill. Remember. I thought it was Bill Green.
Bill Green. Thank you, Christine.
Brian Green. Yeah.
No, so it's Bill. His name's Bill.
Yeah.
Bill Breen.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Hey,
I'm like, who was it? It caught me off guard.
Hey, we'll be right back. You're listening to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio. Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGDI. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGDI.org.
On view at Minneapolis Institute of Art, artist Mary Sully was a visionary ahead of her time. Born on Standing Rock Reservation, she worked in near obscurity between the 1920s and 1940s, creating intricate, vividly colored drawings that blend Dakota heritage with modern life. Now on display at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, experience the first solo exhibition featuring Mary Sully's work only at MIA until September 21st and always free to visit. Learn more at artsmia.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. Air stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis Air dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Located just north of 50th and France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this episode is supported by the City of Minneapolis with Minneapolis Air, American Indian Relations, and here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Thank you, Robert. Welcome back. I'm Christine McDonald, American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis. And joining us is Jolene Jones with Make Voting a Tradition with the Native American and Community Development Institute. So let's talk about identification requirements for voting. What are the requirements, and will a band or tribal ID work if I want to, when I go vote?
Yes, tribal ID works in the state of Minnesota for voting. But one of the things is Minnesota's a no-show ID. So if we are, if we have registered you to vote, you do not need your ID. You do not need anything to vote except know your name and your address, and they will pull you up. But tribal IDs work, school student IDs work from colleges. And if you don't have that, you can bring your ID and I have something with your address on it so we can verify where you live, and also having somebody vouch for you. So like, let's say you were out of town, you'd never got to any of the MVAT stuff, or you just moved and you weren't planning on moving and now you got to register to vote and it's already voting time, you didn't get it in. So we would have people at the voting places where you could talk to them, or some like your neighbor, somebody who knows you, a relative, say you moved with the relative, they can vouch for you. But tribal IDs work. And if you're registered, you don't have to bring anything to vote.
So I think one thing I remember is I showed up 1 year. I was supposed to be registered and I showed up 1 year and I wasn't registered. So luckily I got early. I got there early enough and I had to go home and get some documents. But where can I check to make sure that I'm registered?
So you can go to Make Voting a Tradition. We have a link to the Secretary of State page, and you can check and make sure you're registered to vote. And we do that for people too. So like when we're tabling, or even on election day when people come up, because we will be holding a little party, we will have swagging that out and telling people where they're supposed to vote. So if they come to us and say, I don't know where I vote, we'll look it up for you. You can ask us at any of our tabling events. You can go to our page and look it up. And that's Make Voting a Tradition, our Native American Community Development's page. And you can find it all right there.
Okay. So I'm going to make sure that I'm registered to vote before I go to my polling place.
Yes.
So if I'm not registered, then I need to bring one of those IDs that we mentioned.
Yes.
But you mentioned a party.
So we have started Make Voting a Tradition down at NACD's main office at 1414 East Franklin. We have started to have an election day party. So we do a little party so we can let people know where they go vote. They can pick up swags. They can take pictures. It's all fun for their voting day, to make voting day fun, because it should be fun.
Where is that party?
At 1414 East Franklin at Native American Community Development Institute.
Okay.
Parking lot.
Fun. Fun times. I'm excited.
It's going to be awesome. And also, don't forget your tribal ID. And for our homeless people, Christine, I want to stress this. So we do register our homeless people because they do not need to have an address. So let's say they're staying underneath a bridge. We would register like Cedar Avenue and 22nd as their address. And when we go in and check to where they vote, it will come up where they're supposed to vote at.
Okay.
Because our homeless people's voices matter too.
Yes.
So the state of Minnesota makes sure that they can vote too. And we do register our homeless. We do a special day, just like we will probably be recommending to our homeless that they vote early at Midtown on the 24th, and MVAT will be there to engage them and help them through that. Last year when they did it, they did have a place at Little Earth, so it was a little easier for us to engage our homeless. We just went to the camps and brought them over for them to vote, or told them, gave them flyers about the event. So we want to make sure everybody votes.
Yeah, your vote counts.
Yes, it does.
So some people might need assistance in voting. What are some options if, like, my grandma needs help at the polls?
So if your grandma needs help, you can help her. You can go in and help her. They, even for everybody. They have aid. They have Braille. They have big print for people who can't see that good. Mm-hmm. And for people who are shaky, of course, you can help them fill in.
Oh, yeah.
So Minnesota is very good at helping our voters vote. They are very engaged in it, and MBAT's commitment is to make sure that all our Native voters get to vote. Like when I was talking about our elder who was 82 who voted,
mm-hmm.
the person went in with him and helped and read it to him because he was not a good reader. So mm-hmm. So that happens too, where we have people who can't read that well, and we read to them and we tell them things. We also do that on our page. We also will post and talk about these are your candidates. So we also partner with the League of Women Voters, and they currently mm-hmm. have a voter guide out right now. So they have all the candidates in it who's running for mayor, what the mayor office does, city council candidates, what the city council office does. So, you know, we do readings with people. We'll sit on and read the book out loud to people. We do that at Little Earth's Elder Group. We do that in craft class. You know, we just do them. We don't ask people if they can read or not. We just read their candidates and what the mayor's office does. And that's what we do. That's our job, to make sure our people feel comfortable. That's why we also, like I said, practice voting, because yeah. we want our people to feel comfortable. And the reason why we give out shirts, and this year our shirts are light blue, mm-hmm. is because we want them, when they walk in the boat, if they see another light blue shirt, to feel like, oh, I know them. They're Native. Yeah. They got a light blue shirt.
Yeah. So do you have any final advice for people as we head toward Election Day?
My final advice is to check your registration if you've moved in the last year, if you've had anything going on in the last year. It doesn't take but about a minute and a half to check your registration. If you don't feel comfortable checking it yourself, you can go to the Make Voting a Tradition page and you can see where we're tabling at. Our biggest event coming up is going to be on Indigenous Peoples Day on October 13th at American Indian OIC. We'll be giving shirts away there. We'll be doing last-minute voter registration because we're getting close to Election Day. We'll also be checking to make sure you're registered, and we will mm-hmm. have all kinds of swag, and you will get to see our artwork in sticker form. We will have some of that artwork in posters, and we will have some yard signs with the artwork on it.
Ooh, okay.
So,
yard signs.
Yes, we are ready to go. But they're going to be big enough to put in your window, too, if you live in an apartment.
Oh.
So they're going to be a little smaller. Last year, we got the bigger ones. This year, we're going to get the medium ones so that people can put them in their windows if they live in an apartment.
Medium? What do you consider a medium size? And I'm asking because, like, where I live, you can't put anything political up.
Maybe 12 by 16.
Okay. I'd love to rock something on my car, though.
Oh, yeah, we got stickers for your car, but we have not put any of our artwork in bumper stickers. Thank you, Christine. That's a wonderful idea. I am going to bring that up to our communications team.
Wow, I hope I get one.
Thank you so much, Jolene. It's been a blast.
Thank you for having me, Gigawabaman.
See you later. See you tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow, too. Great job, Christine, as always. This has been a very interesting show, as always. This episode is supported by the City of Minneapolis, Minneapolis Air, and a big peeny geegee to our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Good night. Thank you.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. You can win tickets to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life at the Marcus Theater in Waukesha, and Jane Matinier is in to talk about headlines. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Reduction in force notices going out across 7 federal agencies. Over 4,000 federal workers could lose their jobs, according to court documents. ABC's Mary Bruce.
The administration has argued they have to fire workers to afford to keep essential government services up and running. But layoffs have never been required in any previous shutdown.
The S&P 500, with its worst day since April, stocks tumbling today after President Trump threatened to increase tariffs on China up to 100%. This after China placed export fees on rare earths. The Massachusetts Institute of Technology is now the first of 9 universities to reject the adoption of a proposal by President Trump. It's a pledge that would ban the use of race, sex, and religion in hiring and admissions, as well as change policies and procedures in exchange for preferential access to federal funding and grants. Tennessee, the number of missing workers at the scene of a deadly explosion at a manufacturing plant that makes weapons-grade explosives has risen to 19. This is ABC News. 14.